Yeah, I will be talking about the Lake Gradient methodology to actually find the wind streaks on the ocean surface. And then I will also go into showing you the H wind, SAR winds, which we get when we actually take our raw SAR image or SAR winds into the H wind. In general, as an outline of this talk, I will talk about the wind direction retrieval. I also will talk about the estimates of errors, or actually these are flags we will set so that we know which parts of the image can we believe more or less. Then I will assimilate these wind fields into H wind. And last but not least, I will try to show you the first preliminary results of using our model functions to retrieve actually SAR wind fields from X-band data. And in the background, you see actually the nice eye. This is Hurricane Katrina. You actually see ocean surface waves. So we get really, really very high resolution. This is a coarse resolution of just 100 meters. And with TerraSAR X, we're going down to a resolution of 10 meters. So you can imagine the potential of these images. Why SAR? Many people ask us, why do we use SAR? Because the scatterometer community, for instance, they have similar products, but they do miss most areas near to the eye due to the contamination of rain. Now, these quickscat data are acquired at Ku band, so they're more sensitive to the rain, and we are operating at the moment the C band, which is not as sensitive. So just here as a comparison, we put in now the SAR image, you see the much higher resolution, and actually you get much more information in the parts where we get no information from quickscat. So I don't believe this is convincing to actually try to get the best out of a SAR image. The methodology we are using is, in general, we see wind streaks on the ocean surface in SAR imagery. And actually, to this we need as an input to these geophysical model functions Chris talked about. So I'm actually only talk about trying to get these wind directions, so trying to actually get the orientation of these streaks. So now the question is, what kind of streaks do we want to actually consider? Within our local gradient methodology, we actually try to retrieve the wind directions on different scales. Because as you saw, there are streak-like features, which are the ocean waves, which are normally not aligned with the wind. And then there are also coarser features, like the rain bands, which must not be aligned with the wind, but could be. So the idea is we're looking at different scales. Now, if we retrieve these different scales from a typical SAR image, we get a variety of possible directions in the SAR image. This is at the 100 meter scale, 200 meter scale, 400 meter scale. It's actually a little bit dependent on the wind speed where you get the most information on the true wind directions. If we only take now one possible solution at each grid cell, the old case is reduced to this, and you clearly see that actually under tropical cyclone conditions, you have most of the wind information at the 400 meter scales. If you're going at lower wind speeds, typically you have more information at the 100 meter scales. So the real problem is how to remove the ambiguity. Therefore, we have developed a methodology to find actually the hurricane eye, and with the position of the hurricane eye, we can make a very coarse assumption that actually the wind field is rotating around the eye. And with that assumption, we can pick the ambiguity. If we can remove the ambiguities and end up with a typical wind directional field, as you can see here. So that we put then into our geophysical model function to retrieve the wind speeds, and this is a typical resulting image of a SAR wind at wind speeds below 40 meters per second. So you already heard at higher wind speeds, we do get higher uncertainties. We compare this now with a larger data set. In this case, we compared actually to scatterometer data for seven storms, and we get a typical error of about 20 degrees, less than 20 degrees. But as a bias, we lack actually inflow, and that was also what Chris already mentioned, that it seems to be that the features we're extracting the wind directions from are not rotated into the eye. So we lack this inflow, which we have to consider in the wind direction retrieval. We have other issues with SAR images, as you saw in the in the actually contrast enhanced images you saw before. We have all kinds of rain effects which are not due to the wind. So we have to try to remove these effects. So you clearly see here rain effects, and rain actually at C-band reduces the backscatter. So we would artificially believe there's a less wind speed, but actually it's just the rain damping the surface, so the wind speed is higher. So we try to mask or flag these areas. So if we do this masking, then we come up with a typical mask looking like this. So all these dark blue areas you see here are most likely not due to the wind speed. So we can flag these areas, so when we give these products to other people, they at least know, be careful at these areas, these values are not as good as others. We have another problem with the C-band model function. At very high wind speeds, it tends to go into saturation. This only happens actually for small incidence angles. At higher incidence angles, this function is much better defined, meaning that if you're in the near range of the image, you have a larger uncertainty in your wind field as in the far range. We try to take this into account so that actually people using our data will have an estimate of how good is our value, because we want to let people know that actually in the far range, wind speeds are much better than in the near range. So we have developed one of our flagging methodologies is shown here. Actually, all these regions which are yellow are uncertain. The regions in dark blue and light blue are of better quality. This is just an estimate. This must not be the truth, but it's a good estimate, as we will see with the other things. We also tried actually to estimate the true error. This is still under investigation. We do not really know how well it works. And actually, in the white areas, we cannot estimate the error. So we can only estimate outside these areas. So white has no meaning at this point. Doesn't mean the error is higher or lower. It's just that with the model function we develop, we cannot estimate the error at that point. So in general, we try to estimate how well does this actually work. This is, again, a case from a cyclone in the Atlantic. You see here that it's time delay, and we compare to the SFMR measurements. These are comparing now the red line here is the wind speed from SFMR, and the blue from the wind speed from the SAR image. You see they agree quite nicely, and here the tracks were, of course, shifted towards the storm. And although there's a quite big time delay, up to 10 hours, they do agree quite nicely. And in the lower plot, we actually plotted the difference between the SFMR measurement and the SAR retrieved winds and compared it to the error estimate of our model. And you see our model tends to overestimate the errors, which I prefer giving an overestimate than an underestimate. But we will have to try to adjust it to get closer to the truth. But in general, the tendency looks quite nice. So now I come to the part where we assimilate the SAR winds into the H wind. Actually, we really want to just take the SAR retrieved wind field and put it into H wind. Do not consider any additional data available. And compare this to assimilated data into H wind, where they had all the information but the SAR image. This is for the case of Malacca's. I hope so. I can see this down here. And if we compare it, here's now the SAR product, the SAR wind product. And you see here in these range regions, we have a very high estimate of the wind speed. Actually, this is due to the fact that we didn't take into account the inflow. So if we take into consideration our error mass or our flagging, then we can actually, we see in this area, we have uncertain winds. So what we do when assimilating this into H wind, we only consider the points here with the black dot, the rest, the points we believe they're uncertain, we will not pass them on. And if we assimilate this now into H wind solely, so this is showing the results of H wind with SAR winds only, nothing in addition. And this is actually showing the H wind results taking all in situ data and SFMR data, which were available on the data bank of the Hurricane Research Division. So you see there is a similarity of wind fields, but you should also not forget, this was mentioned before, these are typically 1 minute sustained winds. And we have a product which has something like a 10 meter neutral wind. Now how to compare these two is very complicated. Like for instance, the QuickScat or the scatometer community, they actually believe that their winds should be 25% higher, but they have a resolution of 25 kilometers. We're talking here now about a resolution of 1 kilometer. So we do not really know if we have to now increase the wind speed or decrease the wind speed to make a real one-to-one comparison. But in general, you do see there's a very high agreement. We would, of course, love to, that's what I learned here actually, incorporate our SAW winds into Samurai to see how much better this will work than H-wind. The results I saw were promising because these fields do look very, very smooth to me. It looks like a fat thumb which has been done over our imagery. But in general, it's well accepted. So if we do an overall comparison with the wind directions assimilated now into the H-wind, compare this again to QuickScat data, we do not have a significant improvement, more or less the same error. So we typically have an error below 20 degrees in wind directions. If we do this assimilation and compare it wind speed-wise, we do have significantly better correlation when we assimilated these winds into H-wind. So we improve the error, reduces actually from 4.5 to 3.2. But this is always compared to QuickScat. So we're talking about all these regions where there is no rain contamination. So we have to include now the additional data which are available to us now. And this is to show you that we are on the way, we are good on the way to get an X-band model function. This is the first result with our empirically fitted model function, which was actually empirically interpolated between KU-band and C-band. These functions are available due to the scatterometer community. So we try to interpolate an empirical function, and you do see it fairly nicely agrees. These are scatterometer results. These are our wind speeds from the Terrazza X image. And actually, these regions here show a wind speed of about 25 meters per second, while here the highest are 35 meters per second. So if we compare this qualitatively, we seem to be doing a good job. The other question here is also that as we're looking at X-band, we will have higher backscatter in the rain contaminated errors, but if we look at these images, we do still have to work on these issues. How does the rain actually affect X-band? Because we assume it will behave similar to KU-band, but first images, I'm not really sure if it's true, so we have to look into this in more detail. So just in summary, we have a typical error in wind directions of less than 20 degrees. We lack inflow, so we have to take care of the inflow in case of hurricanes. We have developed filters to flag actually the data so that there is a better way of using our data. So we have the non-wind induced areas, which are mostly rain, and then we have the areas where there may be a higher error in the wind speed. We've assimilated this in H-wind, and we do believe that is a smoother product. It will help us in some uncertain regions of our images, but in general, it's very, very smooth, so we believe we should use other methodologies. We will see how actually Ralf will address this problem. Preliminary results of X-band showed good results, but we need a lot of more data, and we have to look into this in depth now. So we have to validate our X-band, and actually, we want to also include additional information, which I don't want to go into detail, but there is additional information in future SAR missions available, which will help us in SAR wind retrieval. God, with that, I want to thank also ONR to help our working group to work together. Thank you.
Yeah, just a couple of quick comments and also some questions. So the first is that we have also found from drift observations in high wind speed regimes that, as you point out, you have point location, point observations from a SAR image, in our case from the drifters. When you compare it with, for example, QuickSCAP, which, as you know, even though it's given at a resolution of 25 kilometers, its true resolution due to the medium filtering is more like 75 kilometers. And so your 20 degree RMS, we believe it's the true variability actually at the sea surface over those space scales. So it would be interesting, you know, in your SAR images, you can probably calculate those correlation length scales, you know, on in a hurricane or typhoon. And if you had successive SAR images, let's say 10 minutes apart, and whatever happens, you could do that in time as well.
And we had one, as you saw, X-band and C-band, 14 yeah. minutes apart.
So that would be interesting. And then the final question is, there is now the OceanSat from India, that's a Ku-band scatterometer, and I think now for a year and a half, and I think they're still in the calibration phase. Do you know any status update, whether that would be available at some point?
It will be available. I think the US scatterometer people who used to use QuickSCAT are very happy about it. So, and we're working with these guys together. So I believe at some point they believe even it will have a similar accuracy, not as accurate, but similar.
My understanding, John, is that Paul Chang and company hope to have the OceanSat 2 scatterometer data sometime later this summer. In near real time, but there are still some issues with regards to processing, and they're not sure whether or not it will reach the quality of QuickSCAT. My comment is when you're using HWIN, HWIN assigns a weight to each of the inputs. So for this particular effort, are the SAR winds weighted, for instance, more heavily than surface winds from ships?
No, that's what I wanted to point out. It's solely SAR. We did not take any, we just took the SAR image.
On your example on the left?
On the left hand, no SAR. It's just what was available in the archive. But in general, if we would assimilate it, we would give it the same weight as QuickSCAT. That's what we would do. Which has to be evaluated, what would be the best weight. But at the moment, the idea was just taking the SAR solely as input to show just one snapshot of the SAR image will give you this information. And I think that's very valuable. If you assimilate later all the measurements plus the SAR image, you will get, of course, an even better picture. But then you have to be very careful how you use the SAR weighting, because otherwise the SAR with all these thousands of points will dominate the scenario.
I think it would be good, like you mentioned, to compare it to Samurai or get it into Samurai. Because the drop zones in Mike noted that Malacca's had that very elliptical shaped center, and Samurai preserved that pretty well. But you know, H1 just smeared all that out.
Wait for SLP.
Yeah.
Coming with the next talk.
All right, our next talk is by Ralph.